Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is November 4th, 2015. The markets were down today, the Dow closing at 17,867, the NASDAQ at 5142, and the S&P at 2102. Tonight, Valerie Lane, president of United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley's Women's Leadership Council, and Marcy Ronald, executive vice president of United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley, will discuss with me making a difference in the community financially and progressively. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Neil's in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while we do typically have a topic each week, we do ask questions off topic and we'll do our best to answer, but we would like to stay on course tonight and talking about all the great things that the United Way is doing in our community and how you in our community benefit from that in a number of ways, benefit from financially supporting them or benefit from the services that they're giving our community, which bolster our community and build it up and make us better folks and better prepared for the world, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about what all that means as we go through the show. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And if a question comes up and you don't want to talk on air, you can talk off air, give your question to Neil, or send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. I first want to introduce Marcy Ronald, as she has 17 years of experience in human services, with 9 of those years at United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley. Marcy currently serves as Executive Vice President of the United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley and is responsible for helping to lead and manage the $12.5 million United Way funds to improve lives and community conditions in Lehigh, Northampton, and Carbon counties. At the United Way, Marcy's primary focus is to lead a talented team of staff and volunteers to invest dollars into community solutions to achieve measurable success in 3 specific goals: education, healthy aging, and food access by 2022. Her background includes work in public and community health, sexual assault, basic crisis response, and juvenile offender mediation, bullying prevention, results-based accountability, and systems change in education. Marcy is a student and facilitator of Collective Impact and works to help the Lehigh Valley to work together through this model. I'm going to let Val introduce herself as well, but first let me welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
We're glad to be here.
Thanks. You for coming. I'm really excited to hear about your mission and what you're doing. So I want to start by talking about the United Way. So many people are familiar with the name United Way. Many people contribute to the United Way through payroll deduction and may know that their funds help support local programs and projects. But there's so much more to the United Way and why I think it's important that listeners have an understanding of the financial impact on our community and the financial benefit of supporting United Way. So Marcy, what are the most important elements of United Way that you would like to communicate as we start?
Thank you again for having us. This is a really great opportunity, and so we're really grateful to be here. I think our United Way has worked really hard to identify and to be really clear about what our role is in our community today. The United Way organization globally is over 100 years old, and our local United Way is coming up on our 100th birthday here in a few years. And we're really excited about that. And when you think about the way that our community has changed so much in that 100, you know, that span of that 100 years, and thinking about how we're relevant to today's community and how we address today's community needs, I think it really is interesting and important to just be clear about who we are and what we do today. And so, you know, we say that we really exist very clearly and simply, we exist to improve lives and community conditions. That's who we are. That's what we're about. And we really do that in four key ways. The first one is to assess those community conditions. So we're constantly taking a look at, you know, what are the things that are happening in our community? What are the things that are affecting our neighbors and residents and folks in our and families the most in our community? And what are those issues and how do we elevate them so that our community is aware of it? But also, how can we, you know, work on those communities, work on those issues at a community level? The second way is to raise and invest money. You know, I think what I've been with United Way now for 9 years, and I'm always struck by there are hundreds and hundreds of volunteers and people who are committed to helping us to raise dollars for this community. So we literally, April 1st, our campaign starts. March 31st, every year it ends, and April 1st it begins. And we raise about $11 million for our community every single year. And we start the next year at zero, and we start again, which is absolutely remarkable, 21,000 donors. So we raise those dollars, and then we invest that right back here in the Lehigh Valley. The third area is we mobilize people to action. So what we mean by that is, as we identify specific needs in our community and create awareness about those needs and connect with others who are working on, I mean, there's some incredible organizations in this community that are working on different community issues. And so how do we synergize and connect with others to mobilize people to care about these issues and to work on them together? That's a big part of what we do. And then the fourth area is to measure results. And I think that's really one of the things that sets us apart, you know, is taking a look at what are those community issues, what are those issues that are affecting people, as I was just talking, you know, I was just saying. And then how do we identify a way to measure and to quantify what the impact looks like over time? You know, how do we measure the results of those dollars and the work that we're all doing in the community over time? So I think that's, you know, and the other thing that I would just say very quickly is, the model for so long, and I've said this publicly before a couple places, is for so long it was kind of this Chicken Little, the sky is falling, things are tough out there, and there's no doubt. I mean, we could sit here all day and talk about some of the pieces of data that are just breathtaking of things that are happening in our community that are really, really tough, that are affecting people in some really tough ways. But what I love about our model is not anymore just sort of raising awareness and say, boy, it's really bad out there. If you could just spare a few dollars for your neighbor, you know, we can really do something good with that. We're saying, you know, we know what the solutions are to address some of these key issues. And together with your few dollars and your neighbor's few dollars and others, we can put those solutions to good work. And it's more of a barn raising model today, rather than just saying the sky's falling and we don't know what to do.
I love that, Marcy. You know, at the end of every show, I say, be proactive, not reactive.
Exactly.
And if we could apply that in every facet of our life, not just our financial choices that we're making, which is how I have always coined that phrase for in applying to your financial choices. But what a great point to make for you,
yeah,
that it's not just about Chicken Little. It's about providing solutions, being proactive,
yeah,
and hopefully circumventing at some point, and that there might be a tipping point that we're going to be ahead of it. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce Val Lane, who by her passion is involved, and we're going to hear her story, and then we're going to talk about what opportunities she saw in helping with the United Way, because there are so many ways. So folks who are listening, we want you to pay attention not only for the services and the wonderful actions that the United Way is taking in our community, but also ways to help. What a great organization who can do the work for you as far as finding where the needs are. You're not having to run around and figure that out. United Way can help figure that out. So when we come back, we're going to hear more from Marcy Ronald and Val Lane, and our how the United Way is helping financially and progressively in our community. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Hi, this is Carmen Twilley Ambar, president of Cedar Crest College, and I want to congratulate WDIY on celebrating 20 years on the air. Cedar Crest College is proud to be partners with WDIY in the support of public radio in the Lehigh Valley. So my favorite program, of course, is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and I want to congratulate WDIY and keep up the great work, guys.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking with Marcy Ronald, Executive Vice President?
Community Servant.
Community Servant. Marcy Ronald of the United Way, and Val Lane, who is President of the Lehigh Valley Women's Leadership Council. So we just talked with Marcy, who gave us just an overview of some of the actions that the United Way of the Lehigh Valley is taking in our community, looking at community needs, raising dollars, mobilizing people to action, and measuring those results. And I think that's very important. And we're going to talk about elements of those as we go through the show. But I also wanted to talk about how Val got involved, because I was at an event that was raising awareness for the Women's Leadership Council, and just speaking with Val for a few minutes, and I didn't even know that she was going to be the president. She was just someone standing in the crowd, and her passion just poured through every pore in her body, and I couldn't help myself. So, Val, people don't know what we're talking about, so tell us a little bit about what is this Women's Leadership Council, how you got involved, and what's your story?
All right. Well, let me see here. I've been involved in the community for many years in lots of different ways. And prior to retirement, which is absolutely wonderful, I was the Director of Community Service and Civic Engagement at Muhlenberg College. So I spent a lot of my time talking to students about the importance of civic engagement and civic responsibility. Well, a few years ago, my husband and I were living in Germany, and when we came back, I knew that I wanted to get involved in the community because I wasn't going back to work. And I was really impressed with the United Way's work with community schools. So I had done all my research, and I thought, I'm coming back. I'm calling the United Way. I want to work with community schools. Well, I went to my first meeting on community schools, and while I was there, there was this group of women who made a presentation about the Women's Leadership Council. I was like, wow, this sounds pretty interesting. They had agreed to fund some additional programming at one of the community schools with their dollars. So I went up to them, and I'm like, who is the Women's Leadership Council? And I found out that it is an amazing group of women who are an affinity group of the United Way who choose to put their dollars together to support initiatives that maybe don't have enough, the United Way doesn't have enough dollars to do. So about 4.5 years ago, I got involved, and as fate would have it, I'm now the president.
And she can't help herself. Could you tell us for a moment, what is a community school?
A community school is, and Marcy can help me here if I misspeak, but a community school is a school in an urban area that has a lot of needs that can't necessarily be met in that 8-hour time that the teachers have. So they bring together community partners, the Women's Leadership Council, different corporations, different religious affiliates, and we all become a partner of that school to help them meet the needs, whether it's food for the children, clothing, additional after-school program, or whatever. So it's a community-based initiative to help an urban school.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. So there's a lot to be done in the community. That's just one example. But why I think this is tied to financial choices as well is because if our community thrives, we all thrive, because it helps our property values, our business profitability, advance education, healthcare costs, and more. So it's not you know, I'm trying to look how we get the hook to other folks to get involved, that it actually is going to help you too. Sometimes people just do it out of the goodness of their heart. They're very compassionate. But sometimes people need a financial reason. Yeah. And that's a good financial reason that we're helping lift up the whole community. So, Marcy, many folks out there who are charitably inclined may donate to various organizations, and they may not always know where those dollars are going.
Yep.
So, or how they're being used either. Yeah. And you had mentioned even accountability. But can you tell us for a moment how the United Way works? A lot of times people think, oh, sometimes my employer has that. I could do payroll deduction.
That's right.
And they don't think about what else is behind it. So tell us a little bit about how United Way works.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's always one of my favorite things to do is to have a chance to talk with any of our donors or people in the community who want to know more about where the dollars go. I'm actually the lead staff for that is responsible for working with a team of volunteers and partners on deciding where the dollars go in the community. And so the chance to talk with people about that is one of my favorite things to do, because we know that the dollars that we raise for this community supports about 60,000 people each year, friends and neighbors, you know, people who are in need of different services and different programs and support. And so, and a lot of those folks don't have the opportunity themselves to say thank you. And so the chance to do that on their behalf is one of my favorite things. I can tell you that we have about 21,000 donors. Most of those are through payroll deduction and through workplace campaign. People can give to us in a variety of different ways. They give to United Way in a variety of different ways. And when those dollars come in, they come in a couple different ways. If the donor has chosen where they want their dollars to go, we call that a designation, and we honor that designation, and it goes to the organization of their choice. If the dollars come into us and the donor gives us the option to invest that in the community to address greatest need in the community based on our assessment, we have four specific areas. We used to be the kind of the community chest where the dollars would flow in and then the dollars would flow out. And today, when the dollars come in, and if they're not, the donor has given us the option to decide where those go in the community, we work with a team of volunteers to invest in four specific areas. The first area that is a cornerstone of United Way and has been for many years is emergency services. And so that's disaster relief, emergency housing, legal support for people who maybe don't have options or maybe dealing with housing crisis and they don't have anybody to help them deal with that, rape crisis, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, that sort of thing. And then an emergency food options. The second area and the biggest investment that we have, 80% of our dollars are of those dollars that we raise that are come in undesignated, go into education. And that's about a $3.6 million per year investment in education.
Similar to the community schools that Val was mentioning.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So our community schools are a big part of that investment, one of the biggest parts of that investment. And so we take those dollars and put them into education. And our primary focus is on early childhood education. So, you know, it's funny you say the financial choices, you know, that this is connected to the financial piece of things, because it used to be that people gave and we, you know, put dollars into the community because it was the right thing to do, what I call sometimes the moral imperative. And, you know, today people are really stretched with where they can put their dollars and their charitable giving. And so while the right thing to do is a good thing, it's important to our community, we need to have an economic imperative. It has to make good sense, and we have to have a return on the investment. So what we know is that the greatest return on investment that you can make actually in education is early childhood education up until third grade reading, actually. And so we put a significant focus on that. The third area of focus is in healthy aging, and that's our third bucket of dollars. And so we have a big focus there. And then our fourth is in food access. There are about 75,000 people in the Lehigh Valley right now that are not able to access food on a regular basis. That would fill up the Iron Pig Stadium 8 times.
Oh, wow.
And so and about half of the people who are in that category are people who don't qualify for federal benefits like SNAP or other things. So there are people who are working, who are trying to make ends meet for their families, and it's just not enough. So when you add somebody like, you know, an organization or, you know, an affinity group like the Women's Leadership Council that can mobilize women to give and connect our work, together, we're able, it's much more powerful, and we can mobilize people not just with their charitable giving, but also with their time.
Great. We're coming up on our next break. I want to give the phone number again, and Val is dying to say something. So as soon as we come back, we're going to let her jump in. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Perhaps you work at an organization that doesn't have payroll deduction for United Way, and you might want more information. Give us a call, 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm in the studio this evening with Marcy Ronald from United Way and Val Lane from Women's Leadership Council of the United Way. And I may not be saying that in the right order, and I apologize, but it's the idea.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah. So much. They're doing so much. And I want to eventually talk about some of the accountability that you do. Mm-hmm. I love that you said you're already looking even at the investment in the early education, the community schools, which goes right back to what Val was speaking to with the community schools and the Women's Leadership Council taking an interest in this. So can you explain how you work together?
Right. The Women's Leadership Council is actually an affinity group of the United Way, and there's 150 of these across the country. It's groups of women philanthropists who choose to put their donations together to affect change in their specific community and in the lives of women and children. So when she was talking about the needs that needed to be met, not every dollar that the United Way has can cover every need. So we work in alignment with them. So with community schools, one of our school's programs is at Central Elementary School. They are a community school.
In Allentown.
In Allentown,
mm-hmm.
Yes. They do get money from the United Way, but not as much as they could use for other things. So our group gets together, and we have decided over 3 years to give them $35,000 a year to support what she was talking about, early childhood education, a pre-kindergarten readiness program that wouldn't be funded otherwise, but helps get those most at-risk children on track to be successful by third grade reading.
Yeah.
Our goal, the thing that makes me the most excited, is to know that I'm part of a group of women all across the country who care about the lives of women and children. I'm with another 118 women, I believe, maybe 120 women who have chosen to put their leadership gifts together, and we get together, and on a three-year period, we decide where that money's going to go. We're making a difference, a small difference, but we're aligning our goals with United Way so that we know that there's accountability and impact from our dollars.
Can we talk about how someone joins the Women's Leadership Council? Because there are probably a lot of women out there, many who may be retiring like you or have retired, who are interested in getting involved, not only with a group of great women, but a group of philanthropists or a great group of women who are concerned about our communities. So how do people?
We're a leadership giving group. So the primary way to join is to give us your dollars.
Yeah.
We're a leadership group by United Way standards, which means we would like $1,000 a year from each member. We do have a wonderful step up program. So you can do 500, 1 year, 750, and 1,000. All of our money goes directly back into the community. So that's the best way to join. You can go to the United Way website. You can call in, and Lori will be glad. I'll be glad to talk to you on the phone and help you figure out how to do it. But we are a membership group based off of the dollars of giving.
Okay. And then, thanks, Val. That's a great story, and it is a great group of women who are passionate, much like you're hearing in Val's voice. And of course, regular listeners know I'm a frustrated teacher. I wanted to be a teacher. I didn't get to teach. So when I also heard about you helping with the community schools, I definitely wanted to jump in. And, you know, when I got involved, there's different committees that people mm-hmm. can be involved in. And one of them was like preparing for events, which we're going to talk about one of the events soon. But one of them was actually working on the signature project, which is I want to get in there and help and see what I can do, if anything, to help with the education. I'm right there with
and we do have we are involved at two community schools, but because our mission talks about women and children, we also support two women's projects to help women better themselves. One is at the Literacy Center in Allentown, and one is Project Easton, which focus more on women, because we know that if there's a strong female that's educated in a family, it certainly helps those children that live with her.
Yeah, and we could do a whole show just on those projects as well. So there's lots of great information, lots of great things happening in the community. Marcy, can you talk for a minute? You had mentioned about finding the needs in the community.
Yeah.
So which agencies or partners are working toward those goals with you, or how do you find out where the needs are?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Like, I know the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation, I've had them on, right. Bernie Story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is something that they're trying to make an initiative as well.
Yeah.
Looking for organizations maybe that have boots on the ground. So,
yeah. Well, I think there isn't a single place. We are when we're doing an assessment of community needs, we're taking a look at other organizations that also do community needs assessments. So we're looking at the major health systems. We're, you know, the Planning Commission. I mean, there are other organizations that are constantly assessing what the needs are in our community. So we're taking a look at that, those pieces of information. We're looking at education data. We're looking at indicators that are standard indicators for quality of life in a community. And I actually have a team of incredibly sharp folks, my smarty pants team of measurement, evaluation, and research folks who work with other thought leaders in the Valley to take a look at population level indicators and other pieces of information. Some of that information is secondary research, secondary data, and in some cases we actually conduct some of our own research, especially in healthy aging. We work with a couple of partners in the community to conduct an assessment on the state of older adults in the Lehigh Valley. And so we use that information to then give us a sense of what are some of the trends that we're seeing, whether it's in education or in food systems or in food access or in healthy aging or in emergency services and disaster and those sorts of things that are relevant to our community, that we think that donors would be interested in investing in, that we think our donors would be okay with us investing donor dollars into. So we're constantly looking at that sweet spot between what the community needs are and what we believe is, you know, compelling to specific donors as well. So,
and one of the things I like is the United Way brings lots of other agencies to the table.
Yes.
They don't work solo.
Right. So that's another question then. Do you actually make contributions to those agencies that you see are providing those services? It's not necessarily you're providing that particular service.
No. We provide leadership in the community. We provide capacity building in agencies and also in the community. But the work that's happening on the, you know, boots on the ground, working on very specific issues, and whether it's in education or any of those four areas that I talked about, are provided through the incredibly talented partners that are in our community that provide direct service. And so how it works is, once we've assessed those community conditions, we then publish a report to the community, and partners that want to work with us on that particular goal area submit a proposal for funding. And we have several partners that don't receive any funding from us, from the United Way, but are particularly interested in helping with that goal. Mm-hmm. And so they'll align some of their resources and connect it or synergize work with us to work on that issue together. And so we have hundreds of partners that are working on any one of the goals that I've mentioned.
So even if there's listeners out there who might be leaders in a particular community initiative,
yes,
that may have been starting up, they're just getting going, and they see a need and maybe don't have the financial support.
Yeah.
At some point, they could look to do a proposal to the United Way.
Yeah, they could look to do to work on a proposal with us. That would be one option. Another option would be for us to sit down together and to work on that particular issue together. We could talk about aligning mission, and we could help them receive dollars from other sources. That's something that we're able to help with as well, to leverage dollars.
Okay, and when we come back from our next break, I want to talk about, you mentioned boots on the ground.
Yep.
And I grew up hearing about time, talent, and treasure.
Yes.
So I want to talk a little bit about time, talent, and treasure when we come back and the various ways that people can support the United Way with that very thing and some fundraising events that are coming up through the Women's Leadership Council as well. And we want to make sure that folks know what website to go to find out information, especially since it's a brand new website. And there's so much information on there for folks to access for resources or getting involved in some other way. When we come back, we can take your questions if you have any at 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert on WDIY Allentown every Wednesday at this time, 6 to 7 in the evening. Currently 72 degrees, tonight a low around 48. Tomorrow Thursday, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 68. A little bit cooler tomorrow. Thursday night, a slight chance of showers, low around 57. On Friday, both day and night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. In the day after 1 p.m., high of 74 and a low of 53 on Friday. For Saturday, a slight chance of showers, mostly sunny, with a high near 61. Saturday night, a low of 39 degrees. We had such a magnificent day today, didn't we, Lori?
Yeah.
And I want to ask you and Valerie and Marcy if you actually were able to get outdoors today.
For about 5 minutes.
Well, I won't rub it in since I'm the retired one. I did get to enjoy it.
All right.
I just looked at it out the window.
For November 4th, what's not to like, right?
Thanks, John. Folks, you are listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Marcy Ronald from the United Way and Val Lane from the Affinity Organization?
The Women's Leadership Council, which is an affinity organization of the United Way.
So let's talk for a minute more about the Women's Leadership Council. You had mentioned that it is a group of women that have come together. Membership typically is about $1,000 to get involved. That can be paid monthly over the course of the year.
Absolutely.
There's a step-up program. There's a friend program. So what other ways are you raising money?
Well, our
and it doesn't have to be just $1,000, though.
No,
let me mention that.
we welcome all the numbers above that as well. No, because we are primarily a membership group, which is how we get our funding, but we do have one fundraiser every year, and it's called the Power of the Purse. And if you think about that, that's what we are. We're women philanthropists who believe that when we put our dollars together, we can change our community. And this year's Power of the Purse is on November 12th, and we're going to be holding it at Cedar Crest College. And it's all the things I like best in the world, hanging out with my friends, shopping, and drinking wine. So we're going to be holding it. You can buy a ticket if you go online. The website will lead you to the sign. It's $45 to come in. When you come in, there'll be appetizers, wine, good friendships, and chance to meet other women philanthropists who care about their community, and lots of shopping. We have vendors from Abundant Style, My Boys Baking, the shops at Hotel Bethlehem, Sophisticate, Step In For More, and lots of other vendors that will be there. Your money from your tickets will go directly to our group, and a percentage of anything you buy there will as well.
Very good. And it's not just purses.
It's all sorts of things.
It's shopping. I just want to mention that someone did call in, and we would like you to call back. We missed your call, and we apologize. So 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So the Power of the Purse is November 12th. Now, do you have to be a member of the Women's Leadership Council to attend?
Oh, absolutely not. We certainly want anybody who's interested in supporting us and the women and children in the Valley, as well as anyone who wants to do a little pre-holiday shopping. offing to come and join us.
And it's also a great way to dip their toe in the water to see what the organization is about. They can learn a little bit more.
We will have an information table, so you'll have an opportunity to see the work that we've done. We've been a group in the Valley for 13 years. Over those 13 years, we've put over $1 million back into the community, supporting initiatives that help, you know, our children learn to read by third grade and women speak English better or become more literate.
And what I have learned as well is you can be as involved as you want as well.
That's right.
So you can make a contribution, be a member, and not have to participate in any activities, or you meet this great group of women and decide maybe you want to serve on a committee or
be involved at the school, or perhaps just be a mentor to a woman at the literacy center who's new to the country and just wants to have coffee once in a while with someone. We are primarily philanthropists, but we're philanthropists who choose to be involved if that's what fits in our calendar at the time.
So let's talk about that for a minute, because remember I said I was going to talk about time, talent, and treasure. So we are talking about people's time sometimes as volunteers. So Marcy, and then Val, you can chime in too. You mentioned that people could be involved at the school. Marcy, does the United Way, while you're helping organize groups and finding these needs in the community, do you also have volunteers who are going in the community too? It's not just you raising the money
Absolutely.
And putting it in the community. You're open to having people help?
We have hundreds of volunteers, actually. Val and I were just talking about this. None of our work is ever in a silo. All of our work is done by volunteers. We're a volunteer-led organization. We are a volunteer a collaborative organization. And so we actually have a partnership with the Volunteer Center of the Lehigh Valley. And so if people want to particularly want to volunteer their time in the community, they can go to our website or to the Volunteer Center of the Lehigh Valley's website, and they can get plugged right into some of our work or some other volunteer opportunities in the community. Decisions on how dollars are spent in the community are made by volunteers, and we have over 60
wow.
volunteers that help make those decisions,
wow.
Which then goes on to our board, and so which is all volunteer-led board, and so there are a number of people that help make the decisions and help support and connect resources in the
and
community.
And you know, this is done with passion.
Yeah, it is,
folks. Who are doing it as volunteers.
Yes.
You really have to be passionate about it. And your group has that as well, Val. So the
Absolutely.
Women's Leadership Council, what kind of volunteer opportunities are available?
Well, we're at two schools. One of the things I'd like to say is that we have worked hard to choose our project so that we truly represent the entire valley. So we have a project in Easton, Bethlehem, and two in Allentown with women and children. So you could work in Easton at Project Easton with women learning to speak English for the first time or women learning to read for the first time. You can go to Lincoln Elementary School in Bethlehem if that's closer to your place of work and work with, we sponsor an intensive tutoring program there. So there's lots of opportunities to work one-on-one with a child there. At Central Elementary School, you could spend all day there. We have a food pantry, a clothing closet, plus there's many, many opportunities to work with children and some of the parents there. And then at the Allentown Literacy Center, it is an opportunity to meet with women who are working. A lot of them are recent immigrants from Syria, and they were professionals in their own country, and now they're working to learn English so they can become part of the job market. So a lot of times they just would like a mentor, someone to have coffee with them.
So Val, if someone maybe can't afford to become a member of the Women's Leadership Council at that monetary level, can they still be involved with your signature projects as a volunteer?
Absolutely.
So another great way to dip their toe in to see if it's something that will work for them as well.
And we have opportunities where somebody even donates a little bit of money. We have events for friends of the WLC. It doesn't always have to be at full membership, but if anyone wants to volunteer, they'll never be turned away.
Okay, and on the United Way has a new website, which
yes.
I want to talk about that address, but then we can also get to information for the Women's Leadership Council through that same website.
Absolutely.
So do you guys want to talk for a minute about that before we get too far in the show and I run out of time?
So. Sure. Our brand new website was just launched recently, and it is www.unitedwayglv, as in Greater Lehigh Valley, glv.org. And there are a variety of ways. It's very easy to navigate. It's very colorful and really provides a nice summary of the work that's happening in the community through the United Way and through so many of our partner organizations. You can see a list of all the partners that are affiliated and connected with our work in the community. And you can get a real flavor and sense of all the things that we've been talking about tonight. And I would just say that, you know, we are not able to achieve our goals in the community without the Women's Leadership Council. They have become an incredibly active and engaged group of women that it's been incredible to see. I mean, they themselves are putting in about $135,000 per year into the community through their signature projects, which are directly connected to the community goals that we've been working on. And so it is together we're able to achieve some of the impact that we're seeing.
You know, I'm very competitive, and I do this on the show quite often. You know, how many women call in versus how many men call in. Is there a men's leadership council? Men, come on.
There is not a formal men's leadership council. It's been a conversation. I think that we actually have an emerging leaders group for younger leaders who are looking to get involved in their community.
And that's a co-ed group.
So is there information on the website about the emerging leaders?
Yep.
So that is a great way for young folks, especially young professionals who might want to be networking as well.
Right.
We always have to sell something else with it, don't we? So where do people reach information about the Women's Leadership Council through that? UnitedWayGLV.org.
And if you go under where it says give and click on that, you'll see the Women's Leadership Council pop up.
Yeah.
And you click on there and everything you'd want to know will be there.
So once you click give,
that's when it pops up. Yes, it does.
Okay. So, Marcy, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, so many people are aware of the United Way through payroll deduction or just, you know, public awareness, because you have been around almost 100 years just in the Lehigh Valley, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, you raise monies to support our community by providing access, we said, to food, education support, healthy aging program, emergency services. So, you're doing all of this. So, let's talk about funding. Does most of the funding come through payroll deductions and the employer programs, or are you getting funding just through the public awareness and people coming to your website or through some other source?
Many of them come through workplace campaigns, but we do have an incredible number of individual donors who give some of their personal resources to us. We have over 200 people that are in our Tocqueville Society, which gives $10,000 and above. So over 200 people are in that society. We have 118 women through our Women's Leadership Council. Our emerging leaders group has a very aspirational goal of growing to about 500. They're new, so they're speaking of competitive. They're very new, and it's completely attainable. Thinking about the market here in the Valley and the fast growing new generation of leaders that's coming here. So I think it's exciting to see. But we have people can give. They can give stocks, they can give in-kind donations, they can provide a grant. So we have a variety of different mechanisms, and people want to, if folks want to give different resources to us.
So let's talk about that for a minute as we're coming toward the end of the year and people are doing their tax planning. And quite often I've had people say to me, you know, I'd rather make a charitable donation than pay more taxes.
Yep.
So sometimes at year end, there is quite an influx of
Absolutely.
Charitable donations.
Yep.
And one of the things that folks should be aware of are the multitude of opportunities. We talked about time and talent. So when we talk about treasure, it could be a monetary donation through payroll, which at any time, probably, I don't know when they can increase that. So one way they can do that is increase their amount through payroll
yes.
deduction.
Mm-hmm.
If they're currently at an employer that does not have payroll deduction, they can go to their HR and campaign for that.
They can.
Or reach out to the United Way
mm-hmm.
and ask someone to come in and talk about, what do you call it? What is the program called when you come in and do payroll deduction?
A workplace campaign.
A workplace campaign.
Yep.
So you someone could give you guys a call and have someone come in and talk about a workplace campaign, but individually people can also give. So just because you don't have payroll deduction doesn't mean you can't give. So you could do a check. We always want people to have receipts. So if people are going to be making charitable deductions, we like that if you itemize, we want you to have a receipt, and the United Way will provide that.
Yes.
So you want to keep that in your records. You could do a check, you could do charge cards, but we want you to be aware, and this is just in charitable giving in general, that quite often organizations will also accept appreciated stock or mutual funds. So quite often when we're talking to people about rebalancing their portfolio and they don't want to sell something because they're going to have such a huge capital gain, well, that is the perfect target to or fund or stock to give to a charity then, because you don't pay the taxes on the gain. You get a deduction for the fair market value as long as you've held it over a year. So if you have something, maybe you want to become a member of the Tocqueville Society and it's $10,000 of stock and your cost basis is $2,000, you can contact United Way, get their brokerage information, talk to your broker, have that stock transferred. Just like that, boom, you get a $10,000 deduction without having to pay tax on the $8,000 gain. So that is a strategy. We call that an in-kind contribution. They'll give you a receipt. You fill out a Form 8283 on your tax return. It's not that complicated, and it's all for the cause. So, folks, if you have questions, we still have a little bit of time, 610-758-8810. It's our last break, and we'll finish up when we come back.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You are listening to Your Financial Choices, and financial choices could be how you're saving money and how you're spending money and where you're putting that. Marcy mentioned about the Iron Pig Stadium, that you could fill that how many times with
eight.
Eight times with the needs that we have in the community. So sometimes, food access or something.
Yeah.
So I love the Iron Pigs, and I love that stadium. So maybe one of the things we could think about when we're attending these venues and living our lives and enjoying ourselves is, could there be something that maybe we could just restrain ourselves from a few times a year, several times a year, and take that money and instead put it back into our community to help folks who don't have those same indulgences of having a hot dog and a beer and maybe another hot dog and some French fries. That's all wonderful and everyone should enjoy that. I'm not saying that, but maybe just, you know, kind of trimming it a little bit here and there, how much more we can do. And, you know, we see that in Allentown and some of these community schools. So we want to make sure that we're taking care of folks. I do have a call that came in. Let me see if I can take this quickly. We have David on line one, and I believe it's a question for me. David, can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Lori. You have a great show.
Thank you. How can we help you?
Question is, are there any calculators that you recommend online, formulas where you an investor can calculate their total return on investment on a portfolio where you're adding or receiving income over time?
You know what, David, I don't know if there's any calculators online. I would expect that there would be. I personally at my office have, you know, software that does all that, and there are calculators that have time value of money where you can show what you've put in and what you've taken out, but I don't have that off the top of my head. I'm sorry. I'll have to check into that and see if there's something I could, you know, mention on a later show.
Okay, I look forward to that.
Okay, thanks, David. Thanks for calling. So when we talk about where we're putting our resources, and we can get a charitable deduction, as I mentioned, the in-kind contributions or cash or whatever, how do we free that up in our cash flow? And there's always plenty of ways when we sit down and look at what we're spending. So can we talk a little bit more? We have just, you know, about 10 minutes left where we can talk about what else you're passionate about, the signature projects, funding, getting women involved.
Well, I do think there's something powerful about a group of women coming together to make a change. You know, we had a past president who used to always laugh and say, a philanthropist, you say that word and you think of an old gray-haired guy in a blue blazer with a cigar, and you think about it as the old men's club. But women can be philanthropists too. And I think when you're in a community like the Lehigh Valley, where you have all these wonderful opportunities, wonderful people, but you have a segment of the population that is so underserved for whatever reasons, there's something really unique when a group of women can get together and decide. We sit as a team and decide where we want our dollars to go. I think that's a really powerful place to be, and I get great satisfaction when I look around and I say, we are putting after-school programming, kids at Central who, because of the school district cuts, don't have science on a regular basis, but we pay for the Da Vinci Center to come there. You know, art is not necessarily part of the curriculum on a regular basis, but Baum Art School comes there because of dollars that we give them. There's, to me, you can get overwhelmed with all the needs, but when you take the time to figure out one way that you can make a difference, it's not so overwhelming.
And, you know, just even those two points, Da Vinci, which is science, and then the art program, you know, I can't quote because this is just coming off the top of my head. I remember hearing probably 12 years ago about a prison warden who said that he had to start planning what the population was going to be in the prison, because whenever they cut art programs, so many years later, X number of years later, he has a higher population in the prisons, because there are different children who need different outlets, and sometimes those creative kids need art, and sometimes art is one of the programs that gets cut. Same thing with sports. And to the science, bringing the Da Vinci Center, we hear more and more, especially even with young women and kids in general these days, about STEM, the science, technology, and I don't even know all the words, but how important it is that they're having even the language skills around spatial reasoning and all of the information that science people need. I'm a numbers person, not a science person. But the Da Vinci Center will do that. And these are opportunities these kids might not otherwise have had.
They wouldn't. And we've heard from, because we're data-driven as well, we get quarterly reports from all the agencies that we support, so we know what our money's doing and we get data back. And we get a lot of stories on the side. And we hear many times of students who were very unresponsive in class, not moving at all, but when they had the carrot in front of them of getting to go to Baum art class, all of a sudden behaviors changed because they recognized they were good at something. And when they got that first boost of self-confidence, then all of a sudden maybe reading in the book wasn't as hard. So there's lots of little ways besides just data-driven things that make you want to do what we do. I am very lucky that I have the time to put back into the community right now, and I get a lot out of it. And don't get teary-eyed.
Sorry, Val is just saying something. I mean, it takes me back. I was in sixth grade. My family had no money. And our school, I went to a small Catholic school, and they sent us to the college for art classes. And it was one of the things that I could do. I was a great drawer, and it gave me a lot of confidence. So, and I came from a really good home, you know? So we just cannot even begin to understand the impact that it could have. And what I love is if you're the person who makes the difference, and you may never, ever know that you were the person who made the difference, but 20 years later, that kid will have had that confidence from some opportunity that they had through this organization.
Absolutely.
So the United Way, we've got a few minutes. You give me your pitch about the United Way. I mean, I've heard a lot about the passion. Yeah. You need the resources.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking at the passion piece. You know, I got involved with the United Way because I can remember actually going into maximum security treatment facilities for male juvenile offenders and seeing kids who were 13, 14, 15, 16, and their eyes were already dead. And thinking about the fact that we have a lot of kids in broken systems. And no longer do we live in a, do we have the luxury of thinking about a specific program that can completely turn someone around. Certainly these things are incredibly important, but it is the aggregate of those programs working together that will change the trajectory for our community. And so it's, and that's what I love about the United Way. I love about the work that we're doing is that we're thinking about how do we change the systems? How do we put the right programs and services into place where we can make a greater impact on our social needs in our community?
When we talk about accountability, and I'm sure that it's complicated, but what are you looking at when you're saying, is it making a difference in the schools?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we have, with every organization that receives funding from us, we have a contract. And so we have a set number of deliverables. So a certain number of people need to be served, a certain number of quality standards must be met. So we receive a report back from that organization. And I can tell you that we have some amazing organizations in this community that do hard work every single day and aren't receiving even nearly enough resources, including from the United Way, to do what they do every day to serve our community. So we receive a report back, but in addition to that, we're looking at data that is specifically connected to that particular issue. We're looking at community trend lines. We're looking at indicators, whether they're moving up or down. Asking the question around what programs and services are contributing to moving that trend line, not a cause and effect, but a contributing effect. So those are the things that we're looking at.
Well, sometimes it could be like a rowboat with a hole in the bottom, though, too. I mean, right?
Yep.
Because it's just always seems to be more and more needs.
Yeah.
Val, can you talk about the power of the purse just a little bit more in case we have folks who are just tuning in?
Oh, yes, I'd like to remind everybody to mark November 12th from 5:30 to 8 for Power of the Purse, a chance to come and do pre-holiday shopping and at the same time support your community. You can buy a ticket online. The ticket is $45. It allows you to come in, have a glass of wine, some appetizers, and then do a little shopping. You also have the opportunity to learn more about the Women's Leadership Council of the United Way and get a head start on your holiday shopping.
And I unfortunately won't be able to be there.
Where is it?
Oh, it's at Cedar Crest College.
Thanks
for your help there. At Canova Commons. So we'll have signs, so you'll find it once you're there. But it's at Cedar Crest College from 5:30 to 8, Power of the Purse on November 12th.
And why did they use the title, Power of the Purse?
Power of the Purse, think about it. We're women philanthropists. We, too, have power. It's that checkbook.
Okay.
Women are the fastest growing philanthropic group in the country. And so that's actually the reason for the name, is that women can control the purse and decide where charitable giving is going for the family.
All right. And so people will have an opportunity to shop and raise money.
And learn more about our organization.
And learn more about Women's Leadership Council as well.
And I just want to say that being part of the Women's Leadership Council makes me appreciate the United Way even more, because the work that they do to identify the needs in the community makes our choices easier, because Marcy kept talking about how we're not a silo, how it's community impact, and we want to make sure that we're using our resources the best way we can. So when we align our goals and fill a need they can't, but something that fits with those community outreach goals, then we're truly, hopefully, affecting real change.
Mm-hmm. And Marcy, so for people who want maybe more information about the program for payroll deduction.
Sure.
Workplace, say that again, Val. You're the one who knows the term. What was it called again? Workplace.
Workplace campaign.
Workplace campaign.
Yeah, just go right to our website. Yeah, and it is www.unitedwayglv.org, or certainly folks can go right there. Send in a question through our website, or our contact information is right there, and people can give us a call anytime.
Okay.
Or if you come to Power of the Purse, we'll be glad to tell you.
Okay. And Marcy, will you be at Power of the Purse as well?
I always go. It's one of my favorite events.
Okay. Well, that's great. I, unfortunately, am going to be at a conference, so I won't be able to go. But I was hoping maybe next year we could get people to do some online shopping.
And we will definitely take that under advisement when we do our wrap-up meeting.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here. So if people want to contact the United Way to get more information, you mentioned the website, UnitedWay.org.
glv.org. And there's lots of information on there either for donating or for resources or for them to see what they're doing in the community. I remember there was something else I wanted to ask you, Marcy. When they do the workplace campaign, and you said folks could designate a particular project, is there a list of those projects? Because I know that the Women's Leadership Council, I think, was one of them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you do payroll deduction.
Yep. Depending on your particular workplace, sometimes there's a drop-down menu. If there isn't, you can write it in. You can type it in to the online form. Or if you're doing paper pledges, you can just write it in. And we code it right
there.
Can
you give me an example of other projects that might be an opportunity for
somebody
you?
Might choose to designate to the Boy Scouts. Somebody
okay.
might choose to designate to the Girl Scouts or
okay.
to Wounded Warriors Project.
Okay, wonderful. Because actually, those were the first examples I had thought of in my head because I thought I had remembered that from the past.
Yep.
Okay, and then for folks who are interested in Women's Leadership Council, they would go to UnitedWayGLV.org and look for the link that says
Give.
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of opportunities for folks out there to help and get involved with their time, talent, or treasure, which will help our community and help you on your tax return. So it could be very well a good financial choice for you, especially if you're doing tax planning at the end of the year and you need to maybe make a charitable donation. I want to thank both Marcy Ronald and Val Lane for being here. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for coming. Folks, I want to thank John for being here, Neil for being here. Next week, we have Rod Young filling in for me, and he's going to talk about year-end financial and tax planning. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, and not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.